Hi guys, I'm Martin Portlock and I'm an actor from the UK and I listen to 30 Screams or Less. It's my go-to podcast. So, you know, you guys play your cards right and you can come to Neverland with me.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Screamboat. It's directed by Stephen LaMorte, written by Matthew Garcia Dunn and Stephen LaMorte, starring David Howard Thornton as Screamboat Willie, Sarah Kopkin as Isla Arendelle, Kaylee Hyman as Cindy, and Allison Patel as Selena. The plot of the movie is, on the last ferry of the night in New York, passengers and crew are haunted by a merciless rat, and what should have been a peaceful crossing turns into a bloody massacre.
But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Screamboat?
Steve, Fuzz on the Lens does it again. They made another horror film for horror fans. It's interesting to see what they can get away with as far as Disney references, and there were a lot of them in this. Mm-hmm. Like David Howard Thornton told us when we had him on this show, they're able to stretch it as long as it's parody, and they didn't hesitate to add as many different Disney references as they could without any copyright infringements.
Oh, yeah. We're starting to sound like a bunch of Fuzz on the Lens marks here.
Hey, what can I say, man? I haven't seen anything that I haven't liked yet from them. I'm pretty sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I honestly can't think of any movie so far that they put out where I was just like, meh, like, or indifferent with. All of them I've just thoroughly enjoyed in one way or another. And I enjoyed this one. This was a fun slasher movie. And dude, you're right. The references to Disney in this, I'm surprised that they're not getting sued left and right.
Oh my God. It opened, it started like right away too.
Oh yeah.
I want to be where the people are.
Yeah.
I heard that and I was like, oh, here we go.
Yep. Then they had all those girls that are celebrating a birthday party and they were all dressed up as different Disney princesses.
Yep.
Let me tell you. So that's so close to like copyright infringement right there. And then later on in the movie, the cartoon of the Steamboat Willie, right?
Yeah. There was a really cool image of Steamboat Willie with like fangs that they showed or like really sharp teeth.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that would make a really good tattoo.
That or a t-shirt. Either one.
Or a
t-shirt. I think overall the art would be sick for that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's it feels very Cuphead style.
Yep.
But I think that's the whole idea of Cuphead is that it was based on kind of that old timey cartoon look. Now, that cartoon they had, which clearly was made for this movie and I thought was great, in that I'm looking at it and it looks like Mickey, like you wouldn't believe. And I'm just thinking to myself, holy shit, this is very, very close to copyright infringement territory. Like, again, I'm surprised that they're not getting in any trouble for any of these references that they're doing. There was even a mini reference, right?
Oh, with the dress.
Yeah. I'm like, oh man. Okay. So I guess that's the workaround is that you just need to make it a parody and then it's like your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, I'm just going to take Elsa or I'm going to take fucking whatever Disney character and just plop them right in the movie. Now, if you did that, I think that's where you'd probably run into that copyright infringement territory. So I think that they're doing the slight changes prevents that from happening. But man, like, this movie was so much fun. Immediately, we're seeing like the two people working in the depths of that steamboat.
Yeah. This was actually, I thought was a really cool opening. I made note of this. I like the fact that they didn't show Willie. They kind of just teased him.
Mm-hmm.
They never revealed him. He didn't really get revealed until maybe the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we knew who it was. They would show little bits and pieces of him, whether it be the, like, they showed his feet, I think, at one point, and then we saw the back of his head, so we saw the ears.
Yeah, it was slowly building up to the unveiling, which I love. I think that's great. I was debating whether it would be better to show it when they did, or if they wanted to wait till the end to give the full unveiling. However, I could think that if they did the full unveiling at the end and it didn't look as good as it did, luckily it did. Willie looked great the whole entire movie. I didn't think anything was really weird about it. So if they did it at the end, if it wasn't really good makeup, then people would probably be like, oh, this is a fucking weird unveiling. So maybe it was a better idea that they did it in the middle.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I saw, when we saw the concept art, not even the concept art really, but when they started showing actual like images of the film of Steamboat Willie, we saw like that there was a statue or something that they were carrying around with them to do all their conventions, the Fuzz on the Lens guys. I just didn't like the look at all. I thought it was corny. But then once you see it in action in the movie, because I'm like, how are they going to make Mickey Mouse a mouse in this movie and he's hunting humans?
Exactly.
And they did it.
They pulled it off. When I saw that still from the movie that you showed me a while back, I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this, because it looked really weird, just the photo.
Yeah.
It's easy to judge it just by looking at it. But then when you actually watch the movie, it all makes sense. And the makeup that they did for this was great. It definitely is better than the last Steamboat Willie movie we watched.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. Maybe.
So this opening scene here, like when the cop's getting beat to death with a hammer and then he got hung upside down and then dipped in the propeller of the ship.
Oh, the whistling as he's like doing it. Oh, man, that was fucking funny as hell.
I love that. So Steamboat Willie is just whistling random theme songs throughout the movie. Like, I think he did Take Me Out to the Ball Game at one point.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think, because I just watched it. I just finished it like 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's still pretty fresh in my mind. But yeah, he started doing all sorts of different whistling, different songs. And that was like the cue where he's like, oh, I'm around, I'm going to kill you type deal. And that cop that was just out on the boat by himself looking around, dude, he annihilated that guy. He hit him with a hammer in the hand and blood everywhere. I'm just thinking, like, usually when you hit someone with a hammer in the hand, like, you'll see the break, maybe a little bit of blood. This looked like a fountain of blood coming out.
So I love these first two kills here. So you got this guy getting killed, you know, with a boat propeller. And then the next scene is the captain.
Yeah. Let's take a step back then. The first two people at the beginning of the movie, the people that are like working on the boat or trying to steal shit, that first guy got his nose bit off.
Yep. And spit off. And then he just like spit it onto a flat surface.
Yep. And, presumed dead, obviously.
D-D. So,
but we don't see a full kill on that. The first full kills are that cop one and the other one that you were just about to say.
So the captain kill reminded me of Stream with the barbed wire kill. It was very similar.
Yes.
But I feel like half of the budget for this whole entire movie went towards this scene because there was so much blood.
So much. Oh my God. It was everywhere. Just spraying everywhere. It was so gnarly. And my question is, where the hell does Steamboat Willie find piano wire on a steamboat? There's no pianos nearby.
Well,
it's not like he's just going in one and cutting the piano wire off and then using it.
Well, like on cruise ships, for example, you've been on a cruise ship. You know that they have the live music.
Yeah.
There's pianos all over the place on a cruise ship. So perhaps this yacht or ferry or whatever had a piano in there.
Maybe
they have someone there that plays music at night as they cruise around New York.
Well, that's possible.
That's what I thought.
I've heard weirder things, so that could easily be explained as like if there was a little plot hole with that and be like, oh yeah, there was a piano on the boat. Oh, okay. We just didn't see it. Whatever. Easy fix. But it was so brutal, and it wasn't a full decapitation. He just turned him into a pest dispenser.
Yep.
Just head still attached. Back, yet head still attached. It does eventually fall off at one point, but we see some epic deaths in this movie, man. What's another one of my favorites? Oh, the guy getting his dick cut off, getting castrated.
Oh my God, while he's getting some from his lady.
Oh God. I saw that coming from a mile away though, like the sex scene between them. Well, we'll say sex scene. It's really just her giving him a blowy. So she's walking past this cop. The cop's on this phone. This is like towards the beginning of the movie. And I knew right away that her and him were going to do something. So later on, she takes off her top, you know, doing the deed. And Willie just jumps out, cuts off the other Willie, and it's still in her mouth. And there's blood spraying all over her, all over the place. It's fucking crazy.
Over the top crazy.
Over the top, yeah. She's covered in blood, half naked. And we don't see her death, but we see the whole charge of Willie, like, running at her with a, I think it was a knife or something like that, or some sort of hatchet.
Mm.
So he's just running at her with, we'll say, a sharp object. Sharp object, she's screaming, and then we go to the next scene. But other than that, we see a lot of deaths in this movie, especially that scene where people are all locked in a room.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the electrifying.
You just see, like, beams of electricity shooting through the air.
Oh, yeah. Everyone just getting electrocuted like crazy. Yeah, and dude, there must have been like 15, 20 people just getting annihilated. Some of them were exploding. Oh, you know what? I should talk about this. My favorite death of all, the forklift death.
Oh my God, I've never seen anyone get killed with a forklift.
Yeah, and you know what made it better was that I hated those characters so much. Whatever. Like, oh, the girl talking like that. I'm like, oh my God, shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, and they were recording like social media videos or something.
Yeah, they're probably recording some sort of TikTok, and they're in social media influencers doing their thing, whatever, and they're making like the dumbest faces, and they talk in the most Valley Girl accent, like over the top Valley Girl accent, to the point where it's like, ooh, that is more annoying than usual. So when she got killed, I was like borderline going nuts.
Cheering.
Excited that she died.
I love when you get that feeling from a movie.
Yeah.
When there's someone you hate so much that you get excited when they get killed.
Exactly. That's what happened to me. I got excited that she died in epic fashion. Like the forklift through the mouth with her and her friend. So
two birds with one stone. It was glorious.
Two birds, one stone. He's a certified forklift driver, clearly. So that was a great kill. I was very satisfied when that happened. And that makes for a good experience when you know this actor is clearly doing their job to the best of their ability, to the point where you actually hate them. And some people may argue, oh, that's because you just don't like the character. They're dumb. That's the whole idea, is they're trying to make you hate them.
Yep. This is a reference to wrestling as well.
Exactly. You know what? I was going to touch on that too. That is exactly like wrestling. They do their job so well in wrestling to be hated that people boo like you wouldn't believe. Like Dominic Mysterio, Dirty Dom, you know, everyone boos the fuck out of this kid.
There were heels back in the day that were so good, like Iron Sheik, for example.
Mm-hmm.
When they used to have to hire security to bring him to the ring because people were throwing weapons at him, or he would get death threats.
Oh yeah, they would all get death threats. People took that very serious, especially when they were thinking that he betrayed the country.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the thing
Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter. Okay. Sergeant Slaughter is another one where they thought he turned his back on America, right? Turned his back on America. And then you have the American hero, Hulk Hogan, who's going up against Sergeant Slaughter because it's supposed to be America versus, I think it was Iran at the time. Iran, maybe Afghanistan. I can't remember specifically. But people were sending him death threats because they took it that serious. And that's how it is. If you're that good of a heel in wrestling, then you're doing your job. And that's what these girls did. They did their job. I enjoyed that kill.
Do you remember? How could you not remember? But our trip to New Jersey with Nick Gage versus Matt Cardona and seeing pizza cutters flying through the air and empty beer cans at the end.
Oh, yeah. I remember. That was nuts. You know, I don't think we've really told this story. And it's that we decided to go to New Jersey just drive straight down in my band's van, and we decided to go see, it was Matt Cardona versus Nick Gage, right? Nick Gage, not Nick Cage, Nick Gage. Actually, I said that once, and I got real fucked up. And I was going back and forth, like, oh, it's Gage, right? Cage?
Cage in a cage.
Cage in a cage. Oh, Cage in a Gage. What? That doesn't make sense. I just, like, realized I fucked up so bad there.
Edit.
No, I'm just going to leave it in. Fuck it. So we decide to go to New Jersey. We're in the van. We see Nick Gage versus Matt Cardona. And it is pure violence. And when Matt Cardona won the title, people were throwing pizza cutters and all sorts of different weapons and, like, cans, bottles, whatever. Anything that they could get their hands on to throw, they were. And Matt Cardona was definitely playing an amazing heel in that because no one wanted him to win.
Nope.
No, they were just like, oh, this is like WWE guy coming in, you know, trying to make a name. Well, I don't know, trying to flex or whatever it is. I don't know. And they pulled the trigger and people hated him in it. They hated him in there and he was doing his job. And I think it might be some of his best work, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Because you got Zack Ryder coming in to, you know, to have a match with arguably one of the best deathmatch wrestlers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's not going to beat Nick Gage.
No.
Oh, and then it happened. And the promos leading up to that match were so good.
Oh, man. The whole buildup was amazing. They sold that place the fuck out mm-hmm. because of this match. Because everyone wanted to see Matt Cardona, also known as Zack Ryder, get fucking annihilated by Nick Gage.
And he did, but he still won.
Yeah. And you know what? He did the smartest thing ever, is wearing all white, because his shirt looked like a rainbow after it with all the...
yeah.
Well, it turned pink and all sorts of fucking weird colors and shit because he was bleeding like a sieve. There was so much blood. There was glass everywhere. Man, that was a good time.
Yeah, it was a long trip, but it was a good time.
Yeah, what the hell is Nick Gage up to these days?
He still wrestles.
He still wrestles?
He's not really a GCW guy anymore, so he's been doing like a ton of like other companies.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he relapsed apparently and then had to go back to rehab not too long ago.
Ah, shit, that's a bummer.
Yeah, and then he just wasn't a GCW guy anymore because something happened.
Yeah, because I haven't heard from him in a little bit, and I was like wondering what the hell happened, but I'm also kind of out of the loop with GCW.
Yeah, I don't pay attention too much that much either anymore because they don't really do a lot of death matches, and that's what I like watching.
Oh, yeah. I know. You're a sadist.
Yeah. That's me.
So, yeah, let's get back to the movie. These girls sucked, so it was delightful seeing them die via a forklift. So that was great. Yeah, and we just keep going with some great kills. Let's see. What's another one I'm trying to think of? I mean, I don't want to give all the kills away.
No.
Because, like, we're just highlighting some of the really good ones, and I'm going to leave the rest up to everyone because we want everyone to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a shit ton of fun watching this, but I thought the acting was done really well, too.
Oh, yeah. I have no complaints.
Yeah, no complaints. Sometimes in these independent movies, you see these actors, and they're clearly still learning their craft. They're still trying to get the hang of it, and things just feel a little weird. Everything felt right in this movie. Everything felt like it was in place. The actors were doing their job just right without being, like, too dramatic or really not there yet. So everyone was great, but let me go through my notes here real quick.
I'm trying to find who the old guy. Remember the older guy was basically telling them all they were going to die?
Mm-hmm. All going to die.
Who did that remind you of? I got like...
Just that guy.
No, Crazy Ralph from the Friday the 13th series.
Oh, well, maybe it's a callback?
I mean, maybe, but like you've got that guy. Then you've got the guy. I can't remember what his name is in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the gas station that told those people not to keep going forward because they were all going to die.
Yep. You're all going to die. Well, he didn't say it like that. I'm doing the Billy Madison old guy.
Yeah. Now you're all in big, big trouble.
You're all going to die. Oh, that's funny. I fucking love Billy Madison. Okay, so we might have an answer to this theory. You remember in Scream, Stu gets the TV dropped on his head.
And oh, yeah, of course.
Presumed dead, right?
Yep, but after all these years, now apparently he's not dead, confirmed.
Right, but in this movie, the new captain, the one that wasn't decapitated, the new captain was sitting there and he's working underneath the control area, I guess, And Willie takes a CRT TV.
Oh, yeah. Smokes
drops it on his head. Now, his head basically explodes and there's blood everywhere. So I'm thinking, like, okay. So now, if you were to get a TV dropped in your head like that, maybe your head would explode and there'd be blood everywhere. There was not blood everywhere for Stu. So maybe his head wasn't crushed. Maybe he was just fucking knocked stupid and he's perfectly fine. You know, maybe he just got out of there real quick because everyone was focusing on, oh God, what's the other actor's name? Or character
Billy.
Name? Thank you, Billy. Billy Loomis. So everyone's focusing on Billy Loomis. Maybe Stu snuck out and that's the end of the movie. We never get that full closure. So he's going to be in one of the newer Screams, I guess. Maybe he's going to be, I don't know, like a throwback or something. Maybe they're going to de-age him.
Well, they got to do something because they're bringing back characters that are dead that we saw die.
Yeah, they're like rewriting the past few that came up.
But the movie might not ever come out anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true. There's all sorts of fucking red tape with those movies. You know, a lot of drama that goes into it, it seems like. So we see the TV dropping them. I think, you know what? I wanted to talk about this for a second because we're talking about Stu. Dead by Daylight just announced the Five Nights at Freddy's kind of crossover.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're getting one of the killers. I don't remember it's like a bunny, though. I don't remember the bunny's name because I never really played the game.
I haven't either. I mean,
we watched the movie, though. We didn't review it for the podcast, but.
Who watched it?
We did at some point. Like, I feel like you and I both watched it. I know I did.
Okay. I thought I had never seen it.
I was so certain that you did.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So he's in the movie. So now they have an extra skin in Dead by Daylight, and it's actually Matthew Lillard as the bunny with the mask off.
Oh.
So it's just like, yeah,
really?
You see his face in it. He does the voiceovers and shit, and like, he's a killer in the game. So
what?
It's so fucking cool looking.
I saw that. Did they announce that at PAX East too?
Oh, yeah. They announced it at PAX East.
I was going to say, because I saw the Witcher one.
Yeah. People exploded. Like, people up on their feet cheering when they saw the Five Nights at Freddy's thing. And then went just as crazy when they announced Witcher skins.
Were you at that panel?
Yeah, I was. It was fucking awesome. I had a good time with it because it was like their, I think, 9th anniversary, like basically their 9th birthday of the game being out. I'm surprised it's been out for this long.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's crazy. There's a new map too.
See, that's the thing. It keeps adding content, so it's not getting stale. And that's why people play it so much. And that's why they have like 60,000 people playing it a day, which is pretty good. Actually, I don't even know if that's a day. I just, like, on my way up to Maine at 5 a.m. for shits and giggles, decided to look, and there were 60,000 people playing.
Still?
At 5 a.m.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, a lot of people play that game.
We should play again. We used to play all the time.
I would love to play that game again. That game's so much fun.
It's scary,
I can play it pretty
though.
Much everywhere. I have it on PC or PlayStation.
It's so scary.
Yeah. It's fucking terrifying. I was playing it recently, and I was just chasing people around as Ghostface. Oh, I love fucking with people. I'll just like kind of bob out and look at them, stare at them. And then like there's this whole charging deal because if you're stalking them, it charges and then everyone's like one hit kill. Or you just like just one hit downed, pick them up, throw them on the hook, good to go. Love that game. But we're going a little off topic again. We tend to do that.
Again.
What else is new? So trying to think about where I am in my notes again. The animation that they showed after the new captain got a TV dropped on his head. I love that animation. Some serious work went into this movie.
Yeah. I'm really curious what the budget was because they did a lot for an indie film.
Yeah.
And I know, the fact that they didn't have to pay. Well, I shouldn't say that they didn't have to pay, but I'm sure they got a good deal on the boat itself because it's owned by Pete Davidson.
Oh, is it?
You didn't know this?
I didn't know this.
So that's an actual yacht that Pete Davidson bought. And with Colin Jost, another comedian.
Yeah, I know Colin Jost. He's married to Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, yeah. So they own that yacht or ferry.
And it's
just
way.
Yeah, it just sits in the New York, the Bay or whatever.
What?
The Staten Island Ferry, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Hold on,
I did
I'm
not
Googling.
Know that. I was thinking that maybe they were just using stock footage for like a lot of these boat scenes because you can. There's like a whole stock website to where you can pay to download these videos, and you have like that kind of look.
Okay, so it's Pete Davidson and Colin Jost purchased a decommissioned Staten Island ferry in 2022.
Okay.
They paid $280,000 for the vessel, which was decommissioned due to mechanical issues and was in poor condition. So they plan on renovating it, but they let them shoot on that boat.
That's really fucking cool.
Yeah, so the decommissioned Staten Island ferry owned by Pete Davidson and Colin Jost was used as the set for the horror movie Scream Boat.
No shit. I was thinking it was some sort of backlot deal where, you know, with the Terrifier guys, they tend to make a lot of this stuff like in the fucking backyard and all sorts of shit, right? They just have like that skill to make it look like they're at a location when they're not. So I didn't know if maybe it was that kind of deal. I didn't realize they actually rented out a whole fucking boat for this movie.
Yep.
So,
yeah, the whole movie was shot on it. And shit. I bet there's some kind of tie there though too, because did you watch the show Bupkis?
No, I didn't.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay. So it's just a show that Pete Davidson basically did about his life. It's pretty good, but there's an episode with David Howard Thornton as Art the Clown.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah. So maybe they're friends in real life. I'm not sure.
You know, I didn't look at the whole credits for the movie as it was like playing at the end. I probably should, because they were showing all sorts of crazy animations when they were like doing the people's names.
Yeah, I watched it all. It's great.
Oh, awesome. Did they mention Pete Davidson and Colin Jost as like executive producers or something?
Mm-mm. Not that I saw, no.
Fucking screw job. Damn. I would have been like, I want to be an executive producer on this film just for letting you borrow the boat.
Yeah, no, he's not. Not even on IMDb, he's not credited with anything.
No shit. All right. Well, they probably just paid him maybe 50 grand or something. And, you know, that makes a dent in that boat payment.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50,000 just for like, oh, yeah, you can like hang out on here for, I don't know, like 2 weeks and film this movie.
I wonder if they started renovating it yet.
I don't see why not. You know, that brings up the question of, did they use green screens then for the water? Because if this boat's got mechanical issues, it's not sailing anywhere.
Oh, yeah. They definitely CGI, green screen, whatever, because they made it look like it was sailing. And like you said, the water.
Mm-hmm. There was some Evil Dead shit happening, too. And here's what I mean by that. You know, with Sam Raimi back in the day, he would, to do scale, he would have like a projection on the screen of like the character. Well, Army of Darkness is probably a better example.
Mm.
They would have like a projection on the screen of the fucking flying demon thing, and Ash is trying to like jump up and grab at it. They pulled kind of the same deal. They had Steamboat in the background, and it clearly looked like it was like projection look because it was a little faded.
Mm.
And then there was like the girl that went crazy that was trying to like help Willie. They got blown up. Of course, they didn't die, but I noticed that they were using some of that trickery as well. So they were going back and they were using a lot of the old techniques. So using that type of technique with the projection and also doing scale. So like, I think they had David Howard Thornton a little bit further back from people, making it look like he's smaller than he is. But I thought the CGI in this was really well, or I should say the green screening in this was very well done. I didn't see any green lines anywhere.
I'd love to know how they actually filmed that, this whole, those Steamboat Willie stuff, the scale.
Yeah.
Because he's like 2 inches tall in the movie, but he's obviously in real life, you've got a, you know, 5'6" David Howard Thornton wearing a Mickey Mouse costume.
Yeah, he's a lengthy guy. So they clearly did a bunch of green screening, and I thought it looked awesome, especially when he was standing next to that Mateo kid. It looked so good. It looked like there was an actual, like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 inch mouse standing there holding his hand about to throw him off a boat.
Yep.
Do you remember that scene?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I figured we were going to get a dead kid out of this.
Yeah, Mateo looked like he was about to go for a swim like that guy in the beginning through the propeller, but...
Oh, yeah. So I'm surprised that the boat basically stopped and the kid was just hanging out there in his little garbage heap. he was floating on a trash can.
Doing his best Jack impression.
Yep. What a shitty garbage Jack impression.
Ba-dum-tsh.
So we can skip ahead a little bit towards the end because we're basically there. Selena dresses up as Minnie. And at this point, Willie is already infatuated with Selena. So he saw her earlier in the film, and you heard that, like, the love music that you usually hear in movies where someone is like completely smitten with someone else. Usually cartoons, like a cartoon will see a beautiful woman and it's like, how does the song go? You know that song?
I know what you're talking about. I was really hoping you would try and do it. You did it, so thanks.
I did it, yeah. Mine was obviously a little darker because of my deeper voice. I didn't do it like the high pitch. So, yeah, that happened like early in the film. He's infatuated with her. So she's dressed up as Minnie, and she's still trying to kill him. She dressed up to like kind of throw him off. So that way he's like, oh, you know, I'm in love. And it's funny because earlier he handed her a bouquet of ears. I thought that was fucking hysterical.
Yeah. Here's some ears. Some Mickey Mouse ears. Some Minnie ears.
Minnie ears. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny that it's almost like he tried to become good because he saw Selena hanging off the side of the boat about to fall off and he's ready to hit her with a pipe. But he had a flashback about Minnie hanging off the boat. And really, he just misses his Minnie. And so he had this like vision of her and he pulls Selena up, like trying to protect her. Selena stabs him in the head anyways with scissors. And dude, he should have been fucking super dead.
Yeah.
But
capital D-E-D.
Like capital D-E-D dead. And he does the whole, like during the death, he does the whole wave thing. Like,
Yeah.
He never speaks. He just makes funny noises. And I think that is a beautiful thing.
So speaking of not speaking, when we talked to David Howard Thornton, he told us that Steamboat Willie did speak in the movie. And in this movie, there was one scene where Dom says, oh boy.
Oh,
which
really?
which is, you know, Mickey's saying.
Fucking missed that. Oh
so
boy.
I wonder if something happened last minute where they wouldn't let him speak. Instead, he was just making those noises that he made throughout the movie. I don't know. I swear he told us he was going to talk.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad he didn't. I think it makes more sense for him not to talk because the Steamboat Willie cartoon, he doesn't talk. He just whistles the whole time.
Has David played a role yet where he's had dialogue?
That's a good question. No.
So three Terrifier movies, Screamboat, Stream.
Yeah.
Mean One. Yeah. None of them speak.
None of those, at least. Maybe we're missing a movie that he did. Let's take a gander real quick. I'm going to look at his IMDb. Gotham.
What?
Well, he was in, let's see.
Well,
Joker's Wild short.
That's that. Yeah. So that was the YouTube thing. He definitely spoke in that, but he was like a Joker voice.
Yeah. So I haven't checked out any of the stuff like before, in between Terrifier 2 and Terrifier 1, which looks like it's just, actually, he plays an orderly in Gotham, which probably doesn't have much of a speaking thing. Shit. We'll have to look. I mean, he's got like The Bravest Knight, I can't pronounce that. Fuck that. The Indie Escape Network. Oh, that's a TV series. I don't know. Dark Offerings. It says he's in it, but I don't think. Oh, okay. No, he has an actual name in it. All right. We'll have to check them out. But it's been a long time since we've seen him do anything spoken, actually, if at all. Because, like you said, all those movies, he's silent or makes like small little noises.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. No speaking.
Yeah. No speaking whatsoever. But I liked it better when he wasn't speaking in this movie. You know, he just does his little mouse noises and he's just cheering and he's happy. And that's all you need because you don't need a freaking small ass talking mouse in a horror movie. Now you're talking about absolute lunacy. If he was just like, oh boy, I'm killing people today. You go, okay. No, I don't think so. So I like that it was a silent role, basically, for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So won't go too much further. I'm just going to say end scene, fade to black. But I think we should just get into our review here because I don't want to ruin everything or like do a complete spoiler for this movie because we want people to see it. People definitely need to see this one because it is a fun movie to watch. So I think we should go into it. Corey, what do you give Screamboat?
So 5 out of 5. I knew this was going to be the Mickey Mouse horror film that we needed the second I found out that Fuzz on the Lens crew was making it. I love that they made Steamboat Willie an actual mouse and not a human wearing a mask like that last piece of shit cough mousetrap we watched on this same topic. It was campy and it never dragged. Didn't want to name names. The score was really great. The cinematography, practical effects, even the CGI was really well done. And I'm not a huge fan of like overly produced CGI in movies. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the sequel, which we know is coming based on how this ended.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. The post-credit scene, because Pete's still alive.
Yeah, I saw the post-credit scene and he is still alive.
And then they were going back to rescue his friend, which is still on the ship.
Right, but then you saw Winnie walk into it, so maybe he survives, Minnie's there, and then maybe they have a friend that they're trying to go save.
So maybe the next one is about Minnie.
Maybe.
Played by Lauren Rivera.
Yeah, oh, geez, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yep, I said it. You're welcome.
Okay, now it's out in the universe. It's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, this is nothing like The Mousetrap. The Mousetrap, I'm sorry. I still think it's like a nightmare of a movie to watch. I can't go back and watch it. I wasted 2 hours of time to like see one death.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is a whole different ballgame. I honestly don't think we should compare the two. I think that Mousetrap was using the idea of Steamboat Willie as a way to have a mouse killer. Whereas this straight up took Steamboat Willie and turned him into a killer. So this was obviously done way better than The Mousetrap. But I'm not going to shit talk that movie anymore. We already know how we feel about that based on our previous episode where we talk about The Mousetrap. So with that said, I'm going to go with a 5 out of 5 as well. We're seriously starting to sound biased to Fuzz on the Lens movies, but I assure you we're not. They're just putting out quality movies. This was a fun one for sure. Solid deaths. Very campy. Practical effects were good. Makeup was awesome. And the use of depth in the movie to give proper scale for Willy against full-blown humans, I thought was amazing looking. Overall, this was a fun slasher flick. So if you like your horror with some comedy like we do, then we definitely recommend giving it a watch. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.